Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Can we lift our hands to heaven this morning? And I want us to bless God from the depth of our heart. Oh, what a great God we serve. Oh, what a great God we serve. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We thank you. We honor you. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's none like you, Lord. There's none beside you. I'd like for you to truly mean it. Let everything within you mean it and give God praise. Thank you, Father. Oh, we give you praise and we honor you. We thank you, Father. There is none like you, Lord. Your wisdom is unsearchable. You are God all by yourself. When you say a thing, it comes to pass. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, who is like unto thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praise. We honor you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen, amen. We continue on that conversation. It's a family conversation. So joining me upstage today is Barrister Tolu. Help me welcome him. Please come, come upstage. Let's give him a big hand. All right. So good to see you. All right, so he's going to be having some special work. One of the things that will be going on as the teaching goes on is that towards the end, we will be receiving anonymous questions from all our centers. We did receive some on Tuesday, and they were amazing. I continue straight from where we stopped. Amen, amen. Can you just lift your hands in a minute and ask for light, for illumination? Ask for illumination. Ask for illumination. That the light of God will flood our heart. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. So we began a conversation titled Dealing with Church Hurt. Dealing with church hurt, the pain, sometimes the hurt that comes in the assembly of believers in church. Let me ask you a quick question. How many of you have been hurt in church before? Wave your hands. Okay, just a few. All right. If you stay long in church enough, sooner or later you'll be hurt at some point. Is that clear? Hello. I said if you stay in church long enough, sooner or later you'll be hurt. Is that simple? Uh-huh. Just like being married. All right? Once you stay in marriage long enough, sooner or later, one day you'll be hurt. It's just the way it happens. True or not true? You think I don't hurt Pastor Mimi? Do unknowingly. Have I ever done it knowingly? I don't know. But it's unknowingly. Unknowingly. So, you know, when you just get married, there's those butterflies. You say, that's my babe. Check my status. 1, 2, 3, 4 pictures. Okay. But that doesn't mean that marriage is a world of hurt. It just simply means that we need to get used to conflict resolution. We need to get used to it. We need to, I think more than many other things, one of the things that this series will do is to help us become more spiritually and emotionally intelligent. And we're going to be seeing that as we go on. All right? It's going to help us become more spiritually and emotionally what? Intelligent. Praise God. All right? So I stated on Tuesday that anywhere you have more than one individual, there will always be a need for understanding. Amen? Once you have the gathering of people, there will be a need for what? Some of you might have observed that as siblings in your home, all right, there's always the tendency that when everybody is apart doing their stuff, Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and all that, you guys talk on phone. How are you doing? I'm fine. How is your wife fine? How is this fine? But those Christmas holidays, when everybody will come together, day one, everybody's excited. But that same day in the evening, you are hearing someone say, who pick what I drop here? Who? So anywhere you have people, whether related by blood or by any means, there will be a need for what? Understanding. How many of you served in family houses before? NYC Family House, whether RCCF or NCCF. Let me see your hands up. Wave it. All right. I'm not having so much more in the family house, the need for understanding. Huh? Huh? Some people will become enemies that they will never want to meet again in life because of lack of understanding. Amen. And let me say this to you. Wise people don't make decisions in a hurry. Wise people don't make take their time to check. Okay, one of the foundations I'm going to be laying today is a simple word. Never say never. Write it in capital letter. Never say never. Write it in capital letter. I think that's one of the strongest statements that we trivialize. That statement is powerful. All right, particularly if you check yourself and you discover that you have the tendency of making ultimate decisions when you are hurt. Like this person, we can never be friends again. Or this is the end of the relationship between us. Nothing can ever happen. Give me more. We should not meet again. Huh? And so on and so forth. One of the things you will discover is that life has a way of showing us that our decisions were without complete information. For instance, you make decisions based on today and yesterday. You don't know tomorrow. Okay? And let me say this, and I'll leave it there. Sometimes the greatest blessings you are trusting God for is still trapped in those who have hurt you the most. And now it depends on whether you forgive or not. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right. Very, very important. And I also laid the foundation that we should never forget that the church is made up of people who are still growing. People who are still growing. People who are still getting perfected. From the pulpit to the pew. They are still growing. Just like life, every phase you get to, you have to learn. So let's assume you are celebrating your birthday this year and you'll be clocking 25. You've never been a 25-year-old before, true? Except for those who have grown above that age. You've never been a 25-year-old before. So you'll have to learn how to be a 25-year-old. When you clock 30, you'll have to learn the uniqueness that comes with that. What I'm trying to say is that every phase is a phase you've never been to before. When you get married, you'll have to learn how to be married. Oh, yes. You know, when I got married, I didn't feel it. I didn't I was thinking your body, you start feeling it that I'm married. No, it was still me. That was the shocker. So I'll be asking my wife, are we really married? Yes. All right. I'll have to excuse myself to the other room to change. It took time. How many months? About 3 months to adjust to the fact of seeing a girl in my space. I want to pray. Let's leave that. All right. So you'll have to, then when you have a child, you'll have to learn to become parent. You have to learn again. When you have the first child, you'll have to learn how to deal with one child. When you have the second, you now have to learn how to deal with two. Relating with them as elder and junior, and then how to balance love. When you have three, you now have to learn. You are going to keep learning all your life. And the same thing implies to joining a new church. You'll have to learn this church afresh. Are you following what I'm saying here? If you have been in two or more relationships, you will know that you have to learn. Yeah, you have to learn. What this person like, maybe what this person hates the most. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Praise God. Say it again, life. It's full of lessons. Say again, life is full of lessons. So never approach any level with familiarity, because you have no idea what it entails. Okay? Never approach any level with familiarity. So people get hot in church and people get hot really bad. Some get so hot that they can't cope again. What I'm trying to show you is that many of these things, listen, many of these things are not necessary. Many of these things are avoidable. Many of these things could have been dealt with if there was better approach on both sides. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right. If you can balance this teaching with the teaching I showed you how to preserve your estate, you will discover that it is not necessary for there to be fracas. There can be misunderstanding. But you see, the approach we give to issues in church is a reflection of the way we approach issues in life. Are you following what I'm saying there? So sometimes the issue is that we find it very convenient to make conclusive, all right, statements in church, like, you see. And because the reason for that is because we have options. But just like your parents' house, you don't have options. See, let me say this to you. People have not really been told that you may have options of denominations. But if it is God who set you in that family, you must accept it as a covenant between you and God. So if you don't understand this, you may never understand commitment. Do you understand what I'm saying? You may never. See, our life, we mature as we get to understand that there are certain things that we are committed to and we will not have options. So let me give you an instance. When you are married, you don't have options. See, we begin to learn relationships of commitment from the things that God has planted around our lives. When your siblings, maybe your younger brother or your younger sister, that one that is very stubborn and loud, when they hurt you, you feel like giving somebody else to manage them, right? But newsflash, you don't have any option. You have to accept them the way they are. That's the truth. Do you have a child who has ever troubled you so much? You look at this child and say, I feel like just loaning somebody. Just take this child for some 2 days. But the truth is, you don't have options. And we become mature as we learn, you see, to understand these relationships. Praise God. Are you following what I'm teaching here? Are you following me? So I listed some of the common causes of hurt in church. Said number one is what? Misconception. This is what happens when you have a view or a belief that is incorrect or based on faulty thinking. For instance, to believe that this is how church people are. You see, you should never use the word church people if you are in church. That statement already suggests that you are not a part of the body of Christ. I stumbled on the video online, and the lady was trying to educate people that, you see, you don't have to marry a brother that is spiritual. The moment she used the word spirikoko, I ended the video. That in itself shows that this is coming from a biased thinking. And it already suggests that this fellow has something against people either who have the appearance of spirituality or who are spiritual. You see? So these are statements we should never use. And particularly if you are coming from a circle or from a denomination or from a place where certain things have hurt your heart. You see, you must learn to separate people from issues. And even when you have to leave certain places, you must learn to live without carryovers. Before this teaching is over, I will show you the conditions under which you can leave any assembly. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, so please pay attention. So I said number one is what? Misconception. Number two, misinformation. Please look up. Oh Lord, help me. Please look up. I put it to you that anywhere information flows, it is important we judge them with the right perspective. It doesn't matter how big the church is. The local assembly is a small community. And let me speak from personal experience. One of the reasons why personally I have avoided, and thank God for the structure of having a resident pastor in all our branches, I have avoided counseling people directly, except for people that I have direct oversight on. And let me give a balance to that. In church, you preach to every member, but you pastor those who are submitted. Can I come again with that statement? Preaching is for everyone, but pastoring is for those that has recognized you as their shepherd. So you see, it is possible that as the church gets bigger, somebody can be in the church but not being pastored. Because pastoring requires oversight, requires details, requires attention to the fellow based on the information provided. So, the risk of counseling every member, and I say this with all humility, the risk is you may counsel people who don't know your heart. And several times I found myself in this shoe where I am preaching and I've given examples innocently, only for me to remember, hey, this fellow, we had a conversation. Hope this fellow will not think that this is the matter being discussed. And right there, you are still preaching, but you are fearing for your soul. That, my God, please help me. How do I explain to this fellow that this example came by the leading of... See, if you have pastored for a while, you will understand what I'm saying. Here you are discussing innocently as led. But you see, you will never have that fears if the matter concerns someone who has received you as a shepherd and understands your heart. So misinformation comes usually around the sheep and are far from the shepherd. And I've seen cases where a topic will be mentioned and somebody is already feeling down. Let's say, for instance, we are going to teach about diligence. Or building structures against laziness. Somebody starts giving the side eye like, is it because he knows I'm not working? No. The fact that you have a challenge does not mean it should not be discussed. If members need wisdom around that areas. This is a family conversation. Alright? And that's why we are going to open. And I'm going to get to that point where I'm going to deal with the issue of trying to use sermon to deal with people. Oh yes. There's nothing we will not discuss in this subject. Is that okay now? Number three cause of hurt in church is gossip. And it hurts the most when the pastor too has become a gossip. Are there pastors that gossip? Yes. And that's why I advise and I beg ministers never to allow themselves to be lured to a clique. As a pastor, you must understand that your assignment and your duty is over the members. So temptations are, and let me say this, I think I said it on Tuesday. Temptations are that you want to think that those who are telling you what people are saying about you are your friends. There are information that you are better without. You see, it is good for my mental health that I assume that everybody understands what I'm teaching and everybody loves me. You don't have to help me know that this person doesn't like me. Because from that moment, I'm human. And chances are that I become too careful of that person. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when we build structures of gossip, and that happens when there's hypocrisy. When everybody comes to church acting perfect like the judge and jury of others, then there's gossip and they hurt people. People hear what they said about them and all that. Number four, cause of hurt in church, I said abuse of authority or position. And I said abuse can be in many ways. Number one, excessive use of power. Excessive use of power. When a pastor, you see, it is a privilege to stand in the shoes that we stand. You see, and that privilege is a privilege that must not be treated for, taken for granted. So when you know that people pay attention and listen to everything you say and obey your instructions, you should become more careful. You should become more careful. You see, the way people are talked to, the manner. And sometimes, this excessive use of authority can also be in the place of... I have seen places where pastor is... there's a word we use in Hausa language. I don't want to use that word. That word is kwashe, but if you understand Hausa, where pastor is he billing now or tasking people and taxing people? Like, don't let's go into it, but it is excessive use of power. You see, and sometimes sexual abuse. And I need to dwell a bit more here. We must pastor with the consciousness of the fact that one day you will stand face to face with God and you will give account. In most cases of sexual abuse, 90% and above of the ladies sexually abused begin to misunderstand the person of God. And a larger chunk of those people never return back to church. There was a case I was dealing with about 6 years ago of a girl who was so committed to her pastor and local church till the pastor tricked her and slept with her. And from that moment, the girl just started asking. You know the kind of shock that the whole thing about Jesus and the church is a scam. Are you following what I'm saying? And I am pleading. You need to, number one, lay hold on the grace of God. Number two, if you are going to do this work for long, you need to do it with a sense of boundary, understanding that you are not Superman. You can fall. And when you know you can fall, you avoid the things that can make... Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Sexual abuse. Money issues. This is another big issue in church. Money issues. And I warned, as a pastor, don't be in charge of investment. Invest $10 million, you get 30% ROI. It's a scam. See, I'm not saying you are trying to scam people. I'm saying the day everything will crash, nobody will say they have received money. See, let's maintain the sanctity of the calling. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. And as a pastor also, avoid taking loan from members. Don't borrow. The borrower is a slave to the lender. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying this knowing fully well that this teaching is, yes, Sphere of Light Church is being blessed, but much more, the body of Christ. Avoid every temptation that tells you because there's something, a coin in crypto, so quickly. Whatever is the reason why the apostles avoided those things, avoid it. Whatsoever is the reason why our father, Pastor Kumi, that you see those men avoid certain like a plague. Avoid it. And if you run a business as a pastor, avoid credit, giving loan. You see, experience has shown that when somebody is running a store and people come and take loan, they will start avoiding that store when there's money to pay. And they say, I will pay this person later. Let me go and buy there. It's just wisdom. You can put it in front of your store. Business prospers when church members, family and friends pay. Period. True or not true? Have you said anything? And let me give another direct advice. If you run a business or an organization as a pastor, the fact that you are a pastor already positions you for cheating. Never be the face of the organization directly. Make sure there's somebody people can talk to when it's time to get things done. Once it is you, water run away my high. Water, you will cry. I'm not joking. Water run away my high. One time like that, I was running just a side business, fish pond. Oga, it's just paper soup that I just go in different places. You can't do it. Because if you decide that you're going to be very strict, they say, it's not our pastor. Is that Jesus fed the multitude with fish and bread? He can't give us fish. Have we asked for bread? It's just fish. He can't give us fish. And later he will say it's Christ-like. Anyway, Lord. Okay, that means what it means. Okay? So be careful. Careful of borrowing, be careful of loans. Number 5. Don't form cliques. Clique formation hurts people. A pastor should not be on any side of the divide. A pastor must remain a neutral umpire in the scheme of things. Number 6, betrayal of trust. This can happen in many ways. Either when members trust pastor, pastor betray the trust, or when pastor trusts a member, the member betrays the trust. Okay? Betrayal of trust. Sometimes it can be with information. Somebody has trusted this person with so much. Then the person goes to the altar and share everything. And let me also say this. Oh, Lord, help me. We are getting to some very crucial part now. As a pastor, it doesn't matter how vulnerable you think you want to be. You should. This is a very serious one. You should be very careful of pouring your life information in the hands of those you are leading. Particularly your struggles. You see, listen. It is one thing to, in quote, be very vulnerable. It is another thing to tell people what they can't undo. What you help people deal with in their life
believe you me, they can't handle it in your life. And that's why you need to be a leader who is also submitted under a leader. As a pastor, you pastor the church, but without having a pastor, you will hurt the work and hurt yourself. You see, truth in itself does not always set free. Truth can be a tool of bondage. Let's assume. Oh Lord, help me. How do I give this illustration? Let's assume. There are too many examples. I'm really, each of them can be, you see, this is a very delicate subject. Let me give you two instances. Number one, let's talk about the aspect of emotions. This is a very serious one. Are you aware that there are things that have the tendencies of happening to you, but they must remain between you and God, and particularly if there's a leader you are submitted under, to help you get out? That's for those who are singles now. If you are married, of course, your spouse. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know if my wife just look at me bombastic side high. Like, are you really saying that? You know, but that's not true. All right, but I mean, I'm going to try to share a few things. Let's assume I prayed for all of you, so I'm still praying. Let's assume, you know, the issue, hold on. The issue with this topic is that somebody who doesn't have any idea or any experience about life can come across a statement and say, what is he talking about? And say, you can't carry fire and this happen. I've hanged around people carrying fire for long, and I know that there are aspects that you need help. Do you understand what I'm saying? So let's assume you find out that you begin to have emotional connection towards someone. You now call some people you are leading. Say, you won't believe. This happened to us too. And the fellow you are telling has a weakness of ladies. The fellow goes back and says, if this can happen to him, what you have shared, is it truth? Has he set this fellow free? What has he done? Damage the fellow. So you must understand that not everyone can handle your vulnerability as a pastor. That tells you that ministry largely is a lonely walk. And that's why it is important you have those you are accountable to. Have I been able to shed a bit light around that area? See, when David was going to die, he told, oh Lord, help me. He told Solomon. He mentioned names of people Solomon must reward. But he mentioned one particular guy. What's his name? Joab. He said, make sure that his heir does not go to the grave in peace. Why? Joab was that soldier that knew too much of David's atrocity. So much so that at a certain point, Joab began to take decisions that was not instructed to take. Joab killed certain people that David was not happy about. And David could not do anything because of the information at the disposal of Joab. Be careful of creating Joabs because of your loose mouth as a pastor. Let me say this to you. If you really get to know me, one of the questions you will begin to ask is, who is really close to this man? Sometimes in protecting people, draw back. Draw back. You know, recent last week I called some of my spiritual daughters, some of those that everybody would say, ah, this person are the closest. Ah, and I called two of them simultaneously, and they were saying, ha, ah, sir, this one that you called me, sir. Ah, and I was like, can't I call you? Then it occurred to me that everybody would just assume that there are people that are supposed to call every day, every day, every day. It doesn't matter which side of the divide you belong to. If I call you and I spend 10 minutes on the phone, ah. So he's not talking about work now, just talking about you. How are you doing? This. Because we have structures of pastors that pastor everybody directly. My wife was telling me the first time she ever received my call. Said she didn't know when she got up and started running around the house. Hello, sir. Many pastors have destroyed their associates because they assumed that because they associate, they can carry every information. Can I talk a bit? Are you sure? Can I talk a bit? Listen, it is no longer humility but foolishness. If you think in a bit to make people comfortable around you, you begin to share your weakness. Only fools advertise their weaknesses. Hold on. So you want to, let me give you an instance. You want to share on social media that, so that everybody will know that we're ordinary people too. So you share yourself. There are certain things that the people outside don't, they don't, the information is too much for them. Oh, nice shoe. It's not my own. Who asked you? Oh, nice tie. Ah, it's supposed to that gave me too much information. Oh, nice this. When you see people who talk like that, it is actually not humility. It is low self-esteem. You must make up your mind. You will not supply more than the information needed. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then let me also put the balance. As a pastor, try not to have situations where you now have sons or so who are helping you keep your sin. They know the people that pastor is messing up with. They will mess up. And that doesn't mean that I'm not saying so start sinning and living secretly. Are you feeling what I'm saying? Get the balance. I relate with all our pastors as though we have 1,000 pastors already. Many of them have never been to where they live in my life. Never. If you ask Pastor Joseph, I've never known where he lives. Pastor, I don't know. You see, Jethro told David and Moses, you can't do this thing and also do this at the same time. I want to say some things, but I'm just hoping they will not achieve the wrong things. Let me share a story. I've shared this story with you before. Okay. The pastor that went to name a child, and while they were watching the picture of the naming ceremony, the woman whose child they went to name said, look at your pastors as they are eating like birds. Watching the video. You see. Until the pastor came back and the first daughter went to say, mommy, the pastor, he said, I'm eating like bed, I've come. See, there's a branch of theology called anthropology. This one is about knowing people. Let me hold back a bit. Pastor, take this from me. It doesn't matter how brutal it is. You can't honor everybody with your presence. It must be earned. And avoid visiting single ladies alone, period. Another cause, see, let me tell you this. To everything I've said, if you want me to dig deep, I will. Because there are things you will say, because you have not, can you follow what I'm saying? If you stay around this walk long enough, you will come back and say that I regret disrespecting what you said. There are people I talk to, they go back and say, we have the Spirit of Christ. Oh boy. I don't say you don't have the Spirit of Christ. I just say, wait for a while. You will understand. There are people that they would have been preserved in ministries, except that you got too close for them. Are you aware that closeness around those who are not mature to bear your weight is destructive? Oh God. You are not receiving, so I'm going to... No, you are not. Okay, now I'm talking about pastor's wisdom now. We are looking at it from the perspective of pastor understanding the psychology. Understand what I'm saying here? I mean, closeness looks like, oh, well, fantastic. What I'm saying, not everyone is mature enough not to get familiar. To be close and not get familiar is an entire body of discipline on its own. That this person can know the pastor's house, know how the pastor lives, and still maintain the sanctity of honor. Not everyone can handle it. So the attempt to think you are benevolent to bring everybody close is counterproductive, though a good thing. A guy came to follow Jesus. Jesus said that the foxes have their holes. The Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. Stylishly push the guy away. You know, we have gotten to a generation where pastoring has become a weak affair. We now have wimps. And that's why we can't raise strong people. Somebody wrote on social media that if Jesus was pastoring this generation, he would have told disciples to also listen to the Pharisees too. Imagine how badly damaged the work would have been. He would have died ahead of his time. I mean, in your position as a pastor, you have the right to tell people, avoid this minister. That's who a shepherd is. The one that will get you wrong is the one you are not pastoring, but is in church. How do you listen to somebody who is saying something directly opposite what I'm teaching you? To every 10 members that rebelled and got out, 9 out of them were listening to wrong voices. And out of that 9, you will see another 90% who got confirmation to prophecies that is not God from external ministers. So I invite a minister to come and preach, and you say you are getting the confirmation from an external minister who is not talking to you. Let me give you this illustration. I went to preach somewhere, and God gave me a sincere word to pray that there's somebody, and that person is there. Something is coming upon your life. There's an assignment for you. And a girl broke out in tears. I've said I cannot do it. What was she talking about? The girl likes the pastor. The pastor is a single guy. And then she has been, all right, telling people that that's her husband. She's now crying that she says she cannot do it. Then you can't do what? Somebody that you like. After the service, the girls wanted to see me, came to block me. That my friend, the pastor, came out and said, now get out of that place. The girl kept insisting I want to see him. I knew that's a dangerous girl. I said, oh, hey, I'm not seeing you, please. No. That night, as I got to my hotel room, the first message I received was from the girl. I screenshot the message, forwarded it to the pastor, and I blocked her. Forwarded the father, blocked her, forwarded it to him. If I didn't do that, the relationship we share today would have been destroyed by one untrained fellow. I am saying, pastor, anybody you are afraid to talk to, you are not pastoring the person. Anybody you can't tell, don't, that they will get you wrong. Many of you are in church. You may even call the pastor your father. But he's actually not pastoring you. Yes. Are you following what I'm saying? Because I know what I'm teaching. People get it wrong. And you too, as a pastor, you want to show that you are a kind person. Any kindness that is not according to wisdom is foolishness. Understand what I'm saying? All right? Because another cause of ought in church is assumptions. Someone said assumption is the lowest degree of man's intelligence. Never assume. In fact, this will pass for every aspect of life. Don't assume. Wait for fact. Wait to know people genuinely. I'm going to try to deal with this in two ways. Never assume that it is everyone who smiles with you that is your friend. This is general. This is basic. Never assume. And it is also important that the church never assume that it is everybody seated that are members. Let me share this with you. One time we called our pastors and said we want to beg never to be referred to as Papa and Mama again. All right? We made that decision on two grounds. Are you following what I'm saying? On two grounds. Number one, we saw that when something is happening, everybody says, Papa, Mama, wants to be Papa, Mama. The church is divided into two. Those who have only accepted Papa as a preacher and those who have accepted him as a father. Let me leave this part. Okay? But the things that hurt you the most is because you assume the extent of relationships. Hold on. Somebody said that, you are my father. God has said I should follow you. I have a revelation of you. Watch them misunderstand you and watch the length of days they can go without seeking your counsel or even calling you. That shows you you've been fooling yourself. If you die, people will get a new pastor that same day. You see, I wanted to say some things. I'm just, are you following what I'm saying? Yeah, because this thing, I have to balance the both sides. When we talk about church ought, there's nobody in church that gets as ought as the pastor. Quote me anywhere. There's nobody. All right? Because I would have loved to share examples. In fact, some of the examples won't help. So I'm just going to try to move away. All right? But don't assume. It's a very stupid thing. Assumption is very stupid. Okay, a guy. Several times I've spoken with guys. Say there's this girl I like. Fantastic. Say this girl. Say, okay, what's her name? She just say yes. What do you think about her? Say the girl is this. I say, what do you think? Is the feelings mutual? Say yes. Oh. Say, we talk. When we talk, she's smiling. We're assuming. There's a difference between a girl who is naturally respectful and the one who is falling for who. She's not. Are you following what I'm saying? The girl is respectful. That's her nature. That's how she smiles with everyone. As she has never even imagined the possibility of this kind. 90% of times boys talk like that. They go and ask the girl and meet root shock. Now they say that, I'm never going to trust girls again. Say, trust women. No, forget about trust women. You are the one that didn't use sense. The assumption because you and a girl, the people you should even be afraid of are those ones who are naturally smiling to everybody. They will politely turn you off and they will still be the first to come and greet you next Sunday. So people think because a girl is smiling now, she's cheap. And they assume, and that's how they are going to make mistake. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, yes. See, that sister, whenever we are talking, she just be blushing. Go like, she don't, she's not, that's her person. Very respectful, down to earth. That is who she is. Nobody is saying that is your wife or she likes you. Are you following what I'm saying? Sometimes people also assume the extent of friendship. Become a friend with a girl for 2 weeks. Then, bam, you drop the bomb. I like you, this. And the girl said, we are not friends. They say, what does he mean? What have you been building? It means you have been becoming a friend with yourself. You've been befriending yourself. She's telling you. All those things you were saying on phone that is making her smile and laugh. Maybe she's bored, but she can't end the call. Sisters, have you ever been this true before? Particularly if the person coming to you is now somebody who holds the microphone in church. You want to be polite with him and just honoring him. Each time you try to honor him and just smile, he said that's the confirmation. It is assumption. No girl likes you until she says she likes you. And sometimes when a girl likes you and she sees that you're overconfident, she will kill it and now deal with you. Well, wickedness in the heavenlies. Maybe the girl now thinks that you are. The Bible says that hell has no fury like a woman that is scorned. Hell is even polite compared to when a woman feels scorned. Let's be careful, though. That a girl likes you and almost immediately she just gave you a yes. You just assume you are one superman. You start treating her anyhow. When she change, you will run after this same woman all your life and you may never. I think the ladies are too quiet for this teaching. So let me. Because the girl that is easy for you is difficult for every other person out there. Are you following what I'm saying? I want to go, but I just remember something. One of my friends, he did this AI stuff. I now saw the picture. I said, where's your bald head? He said, it's gone. I said, even your celestial body has bald head. I told him, I said, even your celestial body. So accept it. Let me say this. I like to be very honest. Me, I don't know how to deceive people. If you want to marry somebody, you check. Where is this person going? You say, I can never marry somebody who buy it. No problem. If the journey has started, I will show you how to read the lines. Listen to what I'm saying. Bishop Oyedepo is like that. He is blessed. Some girls don't like a guy that has beards. Let's be critically thinking. Marriage is not an invitation to be nailed to the cross. Know the things you can't accept. Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Let me stop there. Number 8, cause of hurt in church. Messages from the pulpit. Now at this point I have to be a bit deep. I have to go a bit deep into this. Are you following what I'm saying? Messages from See, it is very, very important that we accept that one of the realities of preaching is that our message is doing different things at the same time. What is blessing some at the peak, somebody is getting offended by it. So it is important as a member, if you are going to live long in a church, never stop this assumption that everything said is against you. Have you seen people that always assume everybody is against them? If you look like this, say, that's me, he's looking at. God always looking at me now. God always looking at me. It is because that syndrome, I know that syndrome. is the wilderness syndrome. The Israelites go to Canaan. They saw the sons of Anak. They said, these guys were like grasshoppers in our sight. So were we in their sight. You will always assume people see you the way you see yourself. The reason you are pained is because your assumption is confirming a notion you already have. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me say this to you. If you wear a cloth, let's say the zip is open at the back, but you don't know. If anybody look at you, you will not think, it's because of my zip. It's because you know. In fact, if you will dress, and you always people think, my clothes is not torn. It's because it has happened before. So something is making you feel, or you have seen it happen to somebody close to you. It's not. You will be frustrating yourself if you assume that people love your time so much so that they will spend every time talking about you. One time, somebody called me to the page of a girl on social media. It was a stressful page. The girl will go and she shared my picture, a couple of ministers' picture, and she will be putting there, I will kill all of you one by one. Oh, yes, sir. By the time I'm done with you, you will become miserable. I'm telling you. A pastor will share a write-up on Facebook. She will say, you look at them. They are using my prophetic colors. Nobody even know you exist. How did I even know this girl exists? I went to preach somewhere and I taught innocently. Just taught the people. And the girl shared the video and said, look at this fool. That's me he's talking about. I don't even know you exist. The girl will share my picture, one other among the people she was, I didn't even know most of them too, share the picture and say, this fool thinks he can be married successfully. We don't know you. But that's life. To assume that everybody have your time is a conclusion to frustrate you. Don't take that bait. Alright? But let's also balance the fact that, let me say this. Pastor, avoid using what is hurting you to preach. Because you will create hurt the more. Avoid it. That temptation that once you are hurt, let me give the person feedback through sermon. It's a way to destroy the person. You see, anything you can discuss with people one-on-one that you fail to, and you try to use sermon to address it, you will not get the job done. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen. The church is going to become a world of bitterness as long as the pastor is preaching from bitterness. Hold on. See, let me tell you something. God asked me a question. He said, list out 5 ministers whose messages are widely listened to in the body of Christ. I listed. He said, which amongst them can you tell what they are going through their sermon? I said, none. He said, if you want your message to spread, let the message be centered around me, not you. Listen to what I'm saying. Let me say this to you. Messages from this ministry spread like wildfire. If you see anybody who listens to message from this house, they are addicted to it. And one of the ways I meet those who are listening to me is that 90% of them always break down in tears. One time I was in an interview somewhere and I was just talking the way I talk. And the person said, I just saw people come and said, no wonder. This is how this man is thinking. He doesn't know the impact of his messages in India. There are countries I've never been to. Ministers have told me, listen to what I'm saying. You are one ministers, we confidently recommend your messages for our workers. We run master classes, we see top ministries. tell their leaders, oh yeah, go and learn from that master class and return. This thing, it's not about social media noise. There's something called the force of personal testimony. Listen to what I'm saying. If what you are doing will spread, don't center it around your pain. That temptation to speak and keep talking about the things hurting you when you are preaching, that temptation is going to make you stranded. Every time you do that, that thing carries too much of self. It won't fly. And doing that is a sign you don't have capacity. See, this is military. Ministry is military. You'll be going through the worst situation, you will still show up and trust God to help you. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? That temptation is risky. It's dangerous. And that temptation is going to destroy the people. Yes, the message will carry corrections, should carry admonitions, should carry encouragement, but should not carry... You see, people know when you are talking against them. And people know if you have to mention what you are mentioning, except for the few that just live in assumption that bring them pain. I beg you in the name of Jesus, stop preaching in a way to get back at people. The altar or the pulpit is a place to pull men out of the pit. So someone said, it's not a place to dip people more and stab them and stab them and stab them. For we have not an high priest, Hebrews 4:15, who cannot be touched with the flints of our infirmity. Seeing that it was in all point what? Tempted like we are, but yet without sin. One of the signs that you use to know a man who is perfect in love is that his tongue is bridled. You see, there are decisions I have made in my life. Nobody will ever become powerful enough for me to hate. The highest thing is that you will show me that you are not deserving the closeness. And I will love you from afar. Nobody is ever going to become powerful enough for me to keep malice with. We will greet. We will hug. We will celebrate each other. I won't hate. Make up your mind. I will never say evil about anybody. Listen to what I'm saying. People say, Apostle, I want to talk to you. Say, you said this. My heart doesn't beat. Say, you said this. My heart doesn't beat. What did I say? You say, okay, no wonder. That's why I said, you said this. Oh, it's not that they've heard what I said. Why did you say it? Why did you say it? Many things you can call people now. You are doing this. I don't like it. Are you? Listen to what I'm saying. Somebody tell me that so and so is something to so and so person. I will pick my phone. Oh boy, Alpha. I heard this. Explain. Somebody say, Apostle, so and so person is speaking against you. I say, hold on. Let me conference. Call the both of you. I heard this. Explain. Say what you said in his presence again. That is how you know people who are hypocritical. See, listen. Many of the people that will come and tell you what somebody has said about you are only saying because they are now angry with the person. In the days they were not angry with the person, they said it together. Let your head be correct. Say, so what should we do? People are now talking against us. Don't bother knowing. Let them say it, be convicted and repent there. You don't need the information. I would have loved to show you personality test. Some of you are on WhatsApp. Let me just run you through it. Just psychological test. What kind of person are you in respect to WhatsApp? Just an example. Some people prefer to off their read receipt. They don't want to know when they have people to know when they have read their messages. So I don't even care if you have seen my status too. But some will say, no, I care who sees it. I care who sees it. And it doesn't matter even if they know when I've read their message, but I care who sees it. Those are two personalities, right? Some of you are very concerned about who is watching, who is seeing, who is... I know they insult you. I just say, and it doesn't matter, but shut the door. Listen to what I'm saying. Hold on. Let's assume something has happened. You have left a ministry. You say, I'm not offended. I just left. There are members in that ministry that the ministry think are faithful people that will go and tell them that the pastor said this. Even what the pastor didn't say. Listen to what I'm saying. You have left a place. Somebody is still giving you info. That person is dangerous. The quality of being not trustworthy is a general quality. It's because you're on the good side now. There's nobody in my life that tells me what anybody says about me. Nobody. I have a couple of friends who like to say this in the body of Christ. I avoid it all. So for the sake of my heart. And unfortunately for me, because I'm very quiet, many people who relate with me see me as somebody they can always tell many things. Well, it's affecting me. I can't help it. Shut the door against all those. Are you following what I'm saying? Pastor, shut down the temptation to use the pulpit to address matters. Let me give you another instance. In this 21st century, it's an advice. Avoid dealing with sins publicly. Maybe a brother has been caught in this. No matter the temptation they put you under, unless it has gotten to the worst of the worst. I should not have said what I said now. I should not have. Because now you're going to give me reasons to have to explain. One of the reasons is because we are dealing with a new generation of media. And somebody can take the video or picture or the audio and it will smear this person for life even after they have repented. Many of you learned ministry from brutal environment. It is different generation you are pastoring. Oh, somebody has gotten pregnant in church. Let those that will find out through the stomach shooting out. Deal with it at the level you will deal with it. Unless you are not going to be trusted by God with people. So it can never happen in our ministry. Listen to what I'm saying. What you have said is a sign. That ministry can never grow. Are we pastoring the kind of people? Look at what he said. See what apostle said. Okay, continue. You are pastoring millions of people. And you are saying there will be no issues. You are not prepared for the job. You pastor millions of people. Amongst them, you find out that they are hook up. You don't believe. You don't believe. You will find hook up girls that will tell you that what God cannot do does not exist. Listen to what I'm saying. Hold on. They say, hey, see them. NSBD men. Shh. Then they watch them too, they pray. Listen to what I'm saying. I once went to preach in the strangest church I preached in my life. 90% of the members of that church are prostitutes. The church was done in their environment. You say, how is that the church of Christ? You don't know the gospel. You're as good as saying, none of my children can be stubborn. Give birth first. No, give birth first. See, there are things people say at the level that they are because they are still young and they are naive. I Are you aware Bishop T.D. Jakes' daughter got pregnant out of wedlock? And that's the same girl he handed over a woman that lost to. Many of you are carrying this African parent notion. Let me tell you this. If anybody under me misbehaves, what I will focus on is restoration. I will not throw them away. I will not. I have sworn an oath. There's nobody that I will get to the point and I will say there's nothing I can do with you. Ultimately, 10 times, I will keep healing. I'm saying what I'm saying, knowing the implication that somebody can decide to try it. I will cry, but I will heal. It's a vow that I will forgive much to the degree that I've been forgiven. So to think we are saying what we are saying because we are not ready for. I have counted my cost. And I'm ready for the worst the devil can bring through anybody. So you now say that because this person is close to you, this person has misbehaved, you should pursue this person from you. I will not. I've seen cases where outsiders reported people to me and then I will deal with the matter. I will not throw the person away. Your boss will say that your child cannot be bad. You go and give the child to a lion to eat. That's my focus. Apostle, this person is a close daughter to you. She has gotten pregnant. We will deal with the matter. It's family business. If there's a call upon her life, one day so we'll ordain the person. Let the one wish without sin cast stone. Are you following what I'm saying? In case you know, maybe you know that there's somebody who is currently misbehaving. If the person repents tomorrow, I will accept the person. I will. There are people who have boned me and have discarded me and have left me. I'm counting 1 year, 2 years. I'm praying for them. I'm waiting. If they ever turn back, talk good. If they never, they will get to heaven and find out how much this man loves them. See, there's except it's not ministry you want to do. You keep crying. You keep crying and say, they keep crying. They bought me. I can't love again. You are not ready for life. I said we eat breakfast while living. You don't like pain. We gym with pain. That is the gift to our hearts. You know the way you go to the gym and lift weight and they say, push, one more. One more pain. Then they tell you another one more. You've not seen anything yet. Ask the fathers who have been pastoring for 50 years. See. I'm just going to say this. One time like that, a video was circulating on social media. Bishop Oyedepo anointing somebody. I share this way with you. One of the I won't mention the church. Top leaders, top three bishops in that church got offended and left. Then they are starting a new ministry. The wife was more offended. The man got angry. The man. After a while, the man became sick. Critically sick. The bishop left where he was. Came to town. A man who doesn't go anywhere. To see his son. Who had left him, but now he's sick to the point of death. The wife denied him entrance. The man died. Let me beg you. You know you belong to a spiritual family that you have been praying nothing will pluck you from. Communicate the exact same value of honor you have to your spouse in the most possible way till it is mutual. There is one more instruction I would have given, but I'll say that in a closer circle. Because if I say it, it is the truth. But they will say, because there are people who will leave you as a minister. I know. You know that they should not. But for one reason best known to them, they have gone. You have to maintain the seat of an intercessor because you will not be glad seeing anybody in future whose life is now miserable. Daddy Joe shared a story. Because I'm just going to try. One time in the Redeemed Church of God, something happened. He shared this, so it's public. I think something happened. He was giving a man an assignment. One of the top close people to you, to him. The man got offended and said he's time to leave. Later, after many years, the man's life had become bad. So bad to the point that they could not even rent a house. Redeemer had become what it had become. And watching that, I lost my bishopric in this place. And Baba met the man's children and said, invite your dad, I want to see him. And when he came back, he so still loved that man. And he said, I know what I'm going to do. If I say you should come back to the system, those that were your juniors, many of them have become AGOs now. You'll be below them. Baba said he decided, I'm going to create a new portfolio and put this man there. The same thing the man said then. Same thing he said. So I want to go and pray about it. Let me say this to you. One of the pain of being a lead pastor is that there are people that no matter how much you love them, they have made up their mind. They can never see you in a good light. And you know, what you are doing is the best for their lives. You look at you. At the end of the day, you can take the horse to the river. You can't give it water. Because you must understand where your limit is limited. Let me say this to you. As a pastor, you can't guarantee who succeeds in life. You serve. You love everybody. Are you following what I'm saying? You may not be used to hearing a pastor share this, but I'm just telling you because. Number 9, cause of ought, abandonment. People who felt abandoned at crucial moment of their lives, they've served in a church. Now that they lost their job, the church began to ignore them. They used to be among top givers. Now things are bad. The church now began to treat them bad. Or people who were bereaved lost a family member and then the church could not be there. Abandonment. People used to ask me, when you preach, you share stories years back. Do you not have recent stories? It's because the script is still going on. Some are bitter script. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. Let me say this to you. I'm just going to give a counsel. Pastors must try to make sure that people are loved, things are used. Don't use people and love things. The best opportunity to show that people are loved is to be there in the moment of their crisis. It is not just members that should give to the church. Pastors too and church too should learn to be there for members. But you must mark those who want to take advantage of benevolence. I'm just going to leave that there. Somebody has lost somebody, let there be visitation. Let there be calls. Let there be attention to the person. Somebody has given birth, let's treat it as family. Somebody has made a loss, let's all attend to the person. The church is a family, and nobody should feel abandoned. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that simple enough? Number 10, cause of hurt. Closeness with those who are hurt. Let me say this to you. I'm going to, the part that a pastor will be tempted to talk too much on, I'm going to avoid it. I'm just going to give you two advice. Here are my two advices. If somebody is offended at the house that God has planted you, and you know by revelation this is your house, draw back. It is not us isolating the person, it is you protecting your soul. The moment you observe that every time you spend with this person, the way you see your church changes. The way you see your pastor change, either out of the, and listen, the person can be among the ministers in that church. Are you following what I'm saying? The person can be even among the pastorate. Avoid the person. Any conclusion you don't want to share with people, or let me say, anything you don't want to be your belief system, avoid people carrying it. That's the truth. When we say this, if you think it's isolation, no problem. Because what is going to happen is that eventually there will be equilibrium. It's going to move from a region of higher concentration to a region of lower concentration till the equilibrium is attained. At the end of the day, we will not know who is hot amongst both of you. But I've observed that in these cases, the fellow who gets hot first will be the first to recover. And the one who fellowship with that person may never recover. Mark my words now. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm going to stop it there. All right, I'm supposed to move to common errors that people make when they are hot in church. So I'm going to continue this on Tuesday. I know that the statement I said, that no matter how hard anybody hurts me, I know God is going to test it. Or should I say the devil is going to test it? God is going to allow it. And many of them are tests I'm going through in a bitter way, man. You wake up in the middle of the night and just do. But that is the cross we have received. You are either doing ministry or you are running your own empire. Do you want to see that anybody's life is wasted because you fail to forgive? What kind of a leader will you say you are? So we have gathered anonymous questions. We have asked people to send. The link has been sent on all platforms. I think on Tuesday, we are going to take anonymous questions from pastors all over the world. Do you not think it's necessary? And before I'm done with this series, I'm going to teach when the pastor is hot. I will teach that. When the pastor is hot. It's going to be wisdom for pastors. Unless God says I should not. Which he can. Because he may feel that we are not ready for it. True or not true? Good. So do we have the questions? Barista is here. So I just had to call him. He's a lawyer. So it's on a neutral ground. It's not like me opposed to his series of questions and waving it. No. All right. So he will ask the questions. Then we try to answer. Please.
Thank you very much, sir. This question says, good morning, Apostle. Thank you for this message. Please, Apostle, what can one do when one suddenly starts having feelings for one's pastor? Should the person stop the church? Thank you, sir.
Okay. Now, this is a, shall I use the word common thing? First, these two people have to make sure that structures are in place that is not fueling that. Attention fuels affection. You see. So, let me give you an instance. There was a time I mentored a girl. And we do have mentorship class where we sit down. Years back, now I don't do that with anybody having mentorship class, except with people generally. And one time she just said, I'm sorry, sir, I won't be able to come for this class anymore. I said, what's happening? She said, I can't cope. Said, what? Said, my heart is affected, this. And she was so honest. So honest. So when I saw that, I said, I understand, I respect that. You have to respect. I said, so no problem. If you can't cope, I allow you go. But the person should take a break so the person's heart can be dealt with. All right? It may not be the pastor's fault. When you have feelings for people, is it the person's fault? So you leave when it is the person's fault. If the person is putting structure in place to directly put you under the crucible, I'm trying to, this is a dicey question. So I'm trying to dodge bullets. All right? Because this is the body of Christ thing. But at that case, everything that can fuel it must be avoided. And the person should get better.
Thank you, sir.
Maybe if he comes again, I'm going to talk about when the person is not getting better, what to do.
This one says, how do one manage a case whereby the direct leader assumes position of spiritual parents, in brackets, abuse of authority, especially when the perception of lead pastor on the person is based on the report of that leader and the structure is one that you can't complain?
Let me read this question again. This person poured out the heart. Say, how do you manage a case whereby the direct leader, okay, that's the like a resident pastor, assume the position of authority like the lead pastor, especially when the perception of the lead pastor and the person is based on the report. Okay, now I get. So this person is saying that how do you deal with a case where maybe a resident pastor is trying to act like my father, particularly when now the lead pastor's impression of me is based on this person's report. Sorry, we are not trivializing that. We are not trivializing that. Now, these are common things. But never assume that every system is a system where you can't complain. That in itself is part of the assumption we speak about. You see, there are ways to channel your grievances. Do you understand what I'm saying? Number one, you can directly reach out to the lead pastor and say, this is exactly what I'm experiencing. Or the wife of the lead pastor, if this is Fair Light Church. Many will complain that maybe Apostle is busy. Thank God for Pastor. Let's celebrate Pastor Mimi. And one of the decisions we have made is to approach issues from a very sincere standpoint without judging. You see, so you must also understand that your resident pastor is doing that job on behalf of the lead pastor and accept them in their office. However, abuse in any way should not be permitted. And you see, one of the structures we have in place in Sphere of Light Church is a structure of caution. It is those who are resident pastors that know how deep this is. That you cannot just bring a matter about anybody. You can be dealt with. And particularly in a place whereby the lead pastors are people who will not just take anything, who will also look into things carefully. Are you following what I'm saying? There's been several occasions whereby, all right, maybe there was a report about a person. I said, there's nothing I'm going to do. I'm not going to take this up. I'm not going to take it up. Sometimes I give instances. I said, show me capacity that this person have. I said something on Tuesday. It's a very risky statement. But to tell you how open the system is, every Jacob must be careful of the elder brother syndrome on Joseph. And also must warn Joseph from being proud. That's the balance. I won't say more than that.
As a lady following a single pastor, how do you guard your heart and learn to follow sincerely? Because just as you said, most of the ladies that a man leads have a soft spot on him.
Well, I can speak a bit on this because I've been a single pastor before. Let me speak to the pastor. Be careful of pride. The job you do puts you in a position where people can feel you as a superman. And many of them can like you because of that. So be careful of pride. The manifestation of pride here will be that you begin to use people's emotions against them. Is that clear now? Number two, respect people's vulnerability by not compounding it. For ladies who are being led by single pastors, understand that mismanaged emotions will take you out of the ministry. It will get to the point that you either can't cope again and now you have to leave, or disappointed when the person is married, or the person catch the vibe. You start a relationship, it didn't work out. Yeah, I've not seen the case where a pastor's ex is remaining in the ministry when the pastor is married. So you have to ask, what do you want? I'm just going to leave it there. Because this question can put me in trouble. Ask the next question, my friend.
This one is a little heavy. What can I do when a minister is taking advantage of me and he does not like me, but is always saying, I want to kiss you and have sex with you, touches me anyhow? He even said his spiritual father. Some sense it. What can I do?
Leave.
I am scared.
Leave. With immediate effect. Leave. Any pastor who has a contrary opinion to the fact that when you abuse a girl, the girl should leave, the pastor will abuse you sooner or later. Leave. Listen to what I'm saying. You are going to be in everlasting bondage. How do you want to do it? This person is molesting you. Now he's married to somebody else. You are there. He's still preaching. You are watching him. You don't carry the cross you were not designed to carry. From the moment somebody begins to touch you in this, he lacks what it takes to lead you to destiny. Leave. And don't just leave. If you know anybody is accountable to, report him to that person for the sake of the rest. Leave. Nobody is a sacred cow.
Thank you, Apostle, for this teaching. What can I do?
We'll take two more questions, then we'll close because of time. Yes, please.
What can I do when most of the men I talk to takes advantage of me? Most of them are church brothers, because this is affecting how to relate to men.
Well, this question might also show that the lady in question is not taking responsibility. They are not just taking advantage of you. Both of you were enjoying it while it was lasting. No, take responsibility for the fact that you were loose. And they were also loose. It was a case of two loose people meeting each other. As long as you keep... See, I don't like what I hate. See, when two people are enjoying it and later somebody have to speak up. See, don't say they used me. You used each other. That's the truth. So, discern and know that, too, me too, I have a weakness. You have that weakness. And you have been meeting with the brothers that have that weakness. Deal with that weakness before you go into another relationship. If not, you will use it together again like detergents and say they've used you. That's my counsel. Last question for today.
Good morning, sir. You said to withdraw from someone that ought to protect yourself. What if the person is your spouse, sir?
You pray. Hold on. This is a powerful one. Thank you for that. Let me answer this question. One time myself and my wife went for a meeting. A senior minister was ministering. The way he addressed my wife and the things he said were going to cause hurt. But this is a man we know we need to learn from. As we entered the car, first thing I told my wife, we will never discuss this. It has happened in the meeting. We will never discuss this. Let me say this to you. When you have a spouse who is offended, if you are a lady, never try to usurp authority over him by showing how much you love the ministry. Everything you do will communicate the negative. When he speaks, listen. Drag him into a conversation that both of you have each other's attention. Then begin to make him see. This is how the house actually is. But to think you can confront, if he's a man, you can't confront him. You can persuade. But we have lost generation of women that intercede. Only our mothers talk like that. To know you now, particularly when you know my inheritance is here, you have to get to the place of prayer. And fast. See, listen to what I'm saying. I have seen what prayer and fasting can do in changing people's mind. They will just call me and say, I got this light. You didn't get it. I started praying. Start praying. Because eventually you've... And listen, it can cost the entire family. And both of you will suffer for it. So pray for the person. And never confront him by showing that you love the ministry. The advice I didn't want to give then is that it should be part of your red flag. Somebody who loves you but hates your spiritual family. I will just leave that there. I will not say much about that. But it should be a red flag. I feel if you like a girl, you must like her with her entirety. You see. Have you been blessed today? Now, before I release you.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.